Hello and welcome to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Allison Succomelli. Each week, I'll be taking the science of positive psychology, adding a little humor, and through evidence-based research, provide you with tools and strategies to help you live a life of peace and purpose. In this episode, I'll be talking about the benefits of reading celebrity memoirs. It may not be what you think. But first, teachers looking for free resources and lesson plans to start off the new year right? Check out The Lemon Tree by AKS on TPT, formerly known as Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm constantly adding new resources and lessons each week, several of which I mention on the podcast. So again, check it out on teacherspayteachers.com. My shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. You can also find the link in the show bio. And if you'd like some daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post quotes and make book recommendations from time to time. This week in my reading stack, only to name a few, I have Everything is Waiting for You, poems by David White, and Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones by James Clear. Okay, let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to TLT and happy holidays. I hope everyone had a lovely and fulfilling Christmas. Hopefully, if you are a teacher or anyone in a helping profession, nurses, doctors, psychologists, coaches, and much more, hopefully you have some time to slow down, relax, and recharge, which is important for us to do as well as our students and clients. We have to do it too. It's important to, especially this time of year, to disconnect from the frenzy, the chaos, the fast-paced, incessant buzz, and go at your own pace, even if it does not match the frenzied pace around you. There are no obligations to be and do what everyone around you is doing. What are you trying to prove? Is this about external validation? Note, this does not mean to disregard responsibilities like paying bills or neglect children and pets. It's about getting back in tune with our natural rhythms and rather than jam-packing our schedules with continuous activities that keep us from slowing down, reconnecting with ourselves, and doing a bit of reflection. And as we all know, rushing never gets us anywhere of value. All it does is rush us into the next activity to get to the next photo, the next video, the next post, achieve the next goal. But what is it all worth? What are we trying to prove? What are we keeping ourselves from feeling or thinking? This can all generate stress rather than allowing ourselves to experience calm and be centered and grounded. It allows us to indulge in the moment and relax. Slowing down can result in savoring, flow, and becoming more absorbed in the moment. And this leads me to this week's topic. One of the things I enjoy most is gifting books that I have enjoyed to other people. I don't mean giving my used copies to someone. I annotate the hell out of my books. And in fact, if you come to my home office and pull a book off the shelf and open it, you can easily distinguish between the books that I've read and the books that are awaiting to be read. The read books have notes in the margins, or as I mentioned in one of my most recent episodes, especially with poetry, the poems often spark something in me, and I find myself writing feverishly at times, drawing from my own experiences and feelings in the moment. So books of poetry become my personal journals, my personal space to reflect on the page. And I need to be mindful to go back and look at my notes and scribbles from time to time to be reminded of whatever it was or take the time to read what I've highlighted. And you know this from my interview with Dr. Philip Murray in episode number 35, when I share with him and show him my copy of his book, which I've annotated and color-coded, which surprisingly sparked interest in him and wanting to know and understand my markings and annotations of his book. So we're planning another sit-down, hopefully in the new year, where we go over this together. And it means a lot to me that he would even care what my thoughts are about his work. So just an extraordinary man. And if you missed it, again, that was episode number 35, and he, of course, is the author of The 9 Keys of Synchronicity, which is also worth taking a look at. I highly recommend it. And during the holidays, celebrity memoirs, in addition to a lot of other books, are gifted. When it comes to celebrity biographies or autobiographies, some of you are probably rolling your eyes, but don't blow them off just yet, and I will tell you why. I know they're stacked from floor to ceiling at Costco, an easy grab for a last-minute gift, but don't write off the celebrity memoir as just that. If you have recently read a celebrity biography, memoir, or autobiography, you can immediately tell that they have been in some sort of therapy and are usually wanting to dispense what they've learned to others who may be suffering from whatever they were suffering from. So don't be quick to dismiss the advice. It most likely comes from a mental health professional that the celebrity went to for months or even years, and an expensive mental health professional for that matter. So why not take the expensive advice for free? And even before his death this year, Matthew Perry said he wanted to be remembered as someone who helped other people and not just Chandler from Friends. Several fans have posted comments on social media stating that Perry's memoir, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing, which I am also currently reading, has helped others with their addiction issues. Perry demonstrates bravery in being vulnerable and publicly sharing his struggles. Of course, others were disappointed and made statements like Perry's death is just proof that endless resources can't cure addiction. But on the other hand, memoirs, biographies, and autobiographies can help readers articulate or put into words what they have experienced or are healing from. It may not be exact, but it is useful. Also important to know that whatever has happened to you, you are not alone and there are people who can relate to you, be it in a support group, therapy, or through a book. And when it comes to celebrities, it's important to get past the person and learn the lesson. Don't look at the celebrity, learn their lesson or lessons so you don't have to. If the person is a good person with values that align with your own, and you really do like them as a person, even better. But of course, be your own person. We're not striving to emulate them or copy them or be them. Be you, be enough, just do the inner work and learn the lessons from the pages so you don't have to go through the hurt, the devastation, the trials, or whatever the other person had to go through. Of course, we're not going to understand the celebrity unless you are one, but for us average Joes, that part will be unrelatable, but we do have to remember that celebrities are people too. They are human with their own thoughts and feelings, and not just this object or projection of perfection that we see on the big screen or in the public eye. There are lessons to be learned from them, from everyone, really. I wish I would have been wiser when I was younger and really paid attention to and soaked up the advice of those who tried to dispense it. It wasn't that I didn't listen. I just thought, and I'm sure you can relate, that all the stuff that has happened to me in various stages of life, I never thought would ever happen to me. And that's what we always think, right? X, Y, and Z won't happen to me, but then we find ourselves healing from trauma, divorce, losses of all sorts, whatever the case may be. So don't shun any books you may have gotten as a gift this season, especially celebrity memoirs. There is always something to be learned, and why not glean advice from someone who spent exorbitant amounts of money on expensive therapy for free? Just a thought. And in case you're curious, currently in my stack in terms of memoirs, again, no judgment, please, have an open mind. A few of these titles were gifted to me during this past year, and honestly, a few did raise an eyebrow at first, but lesson learned, I'm gleaning some really valuable lessons from the readings. And if you've been listening all year to this podcast, you know that I'm a savory reader, meaning I don't like to rush through my books. I take my time, highlight important passages, and really stop to smell the flowers I find on each page. And my favorite time is on the weekend or any day really that I don't have to get up by an alarm and go to work. I like a slow morning where I can brew a cup of coffee, feed the wild birds, and sit at my table and read, my only distraction being the birds and hummingbirds that come to the feeders. That part is intentional. I then set my Alexa timer for 15 minutes, read uninterrupted for that amount of time, and when the timer goes off, I reset the time for a fresh 15 minutes and read the next book in my stack. I repeat this process until I'm tired of reading or out of coffee. But that's part of my morning ritual when I don't have to go to work, and it is so nice and relaxing, and besides books and coffee, doesn't cost a thing. It's kind of like changing channels on the television when the 15 minutes expires. I get a switch to a new show. Of course, there are times when I go beyond the 15 minutes for one book, but that's what I enjoy doing. It's also a great way to get reluctant readers to read, setting a timer rather than a set number of pages by a deadline. I sure took the scenic route when it comes to telling what is currently in my book stack. Actually, the stack used to take up my entire kitchen table, but is now a little book cart like the ones you'd find in a school library, if you're lucky enough to still find a school library, but that's a different story for a different time. Anyhow, in my stack or on my cart are the following memoirs that I am really learning from. Again, no judgment, please, and also note, I am currently reading these titles and not finished with any of them, hence why they are on my cart, and the savory part of me will certainly have me repeating titles I've mentioned before. So here we go. My celebrity memoirs currently include Friends, Lovers, and The Big Terrible Thing by Matthew Perry, with a foreword by Lisa Kudrow, The Woman in Me by Britney Spears, Enough Already by Valerie Bertinelli, Paris, the Memoir by Paris Hilton, Love, Pamela by Pamela Anderson. Those are the memoirs. There are other genres on my cart as well. I'm thumbing back through the celebrity titles to see what I've highlighted so far. But Perry's book, I'm only on page 23, after also reading Kudrow's foreword, but I'll give you a taste of what I've found significant so far. Perry says, I need love, but I don't trust it. That really struck me when I read it for many reasons. He goes on to say, if I drop my game, my Chandler, and show you who I really am, you might notice me, but worse, you might notice me and leave. And I can't have that. I won't survive that, not anymore. It will turn me into a speck of dust and annihilate me. Whoa, that has a tremendous impact on me. Talk about confronting your shadow. And if you've been listening the past few weeks, you know what I'm talking about. If not, consider checking out the episode on shadow work or the inner work. And Perry later adds, I didn't want to do the inner work for so long. See, already some really important life-changing stuff. Brittany's book, I'm only on page 21. Let's see what I've marked in my book so far. She says, I wanted to hide, but also wanted to be seen. That really resonated with me as well. Later, she also remarks, it's funny how one split second can change a family's dynamic forever. Very relatable stuff for everyone here. I'm sure each of us can pinpoint such a second in their family, be it good or bad. And let's note for a second, the courage it takes for someone to publicly share a trauma that they have been through. More people should really talk about their stuff. That's how we heal. Not just the person, but how we all heal or begin the process of healing. And looking at my notations for Enough Already by Valerie Bertinelli, a few important lessons from the pages I've read thus far. Again, all of these books are part of my personal savoring reading program, so I have not finished reading them yet. But Bertinelli says, should have is a terrible place to live. And indeed it is. I know I have done and often fight myself these days on that one. And this book has a lot of heartbreaking realizations and confessions. I've certainly cried on the pages feeling Valerie's pain as well as my own when it comes to heartbreak, loss, and grief. But don't let that scare you from reading it. Sometimes one line, one quote from a book can change your thinking forever or heal something that maybe you thought was impossible to heal. Again, take the celebrity lessons to heart and don't dismiss them just because it's chronicled in their memoir. Another good piece of advice from Enough Already is when Valerie says, "I wish I could be like this more often, sitting with myself and accepting what is, even if it's messy, instead of trying to solve every problem completely or numbing myself with food when I can't or feel overwhelmed." Again, this makes me think of my episode with Leslie Urbis, in which she speaks about emotional eating and how we are all emotional eaters. It's episode number 27, in case you missed it. Honestly, I listened to this episode again right before the holidays in order to reinforce some of her lessons about emotional eating, especially during this time of year or around events like birthdays, in which we eat certain things only due to the context. It's worth a listen, and Leslie truly knows what she is talking about in this area. It was life-changing for me, and this is when I really began to rethink my relationship to food just by interviewing Leslie, and I've really made some permanent changes, and I'm getting desired results without dieting, which I don't believe in anyway, but by making sustainable changes just in my thinking and finding ways to move my body on a daily basis. I've found it doesn't take much to get results. You just have to rethink your relationship to food. So don't listen to me. Listen to Leslie. That's all her. She explains it much better than I can. Another thing Valerie talks about in her book that really resonates with me is when she says, "The slow, methodical prep relaxes me. It feels almost like a meditation." Of course, she's talking about making a meal. I feel the same way as long as I have all the ingredients and know my game plan. There is something very soothing and calming about cooking that does just balance me out. And sometimes it includes a little music, a little wine, and all the vibes turn to good. She also talks about her home being her sanctuary. I get this one too. I was just at the UPS store mailing something when I came outside and there was a woman standing near my car. She had her phone on speaker so I could hear both sides of the argument, and she and the guy she was on the phone with were yelling just nasty things at each other for everyone to hear. Now, why did I need to be part of this? Why does everyone have to be in their business involuntarily? Just go to your car, go home. But I have to remind myself of the good that I experienced on my little outing. The gentleman holding the door for me, I offered for him to go ahead of me in line, and he insisted that I go ahead. So kind, right? The store clerk was also very helpful in not rushing me through what I needed. And unfortunately, all of that good got stained by this woman and the man on her phone yelling at each other, making me get in my car as quickly as possible to return to my sanctuary, my peaceful home where it's calm and tranquil, and I'm safe to be me. Maybe that sounds a little dramatic, but all of that unnecessary stuff is so draining and it can pile up. And to quote Valerie again, interactions like that do not lead her to a true contentment in her soul, and she often wondered what it was like to be truly happy from the inside out. And I love the question she poses on the next page. What does it feel like to be peacefully happy? I think that answer resides within all of us and can only be answered by each one of us individually. And another great question, how do I love myself the way I am right now, in this body, at this age? These are great, great questions posed by Valerie. And in the last episode, I talked about being a recovering people pleaser and how it is not good to be a people pleaser. Valerie adds, "I feel like I have neglected myself while spending my entire life doing what I think will please everybody else. I too have learned the hard way that you only disappoint and sell yourself short, and in some cases, especially relationships, you have settled if you are merely trying to please others. Stop neglecting yourself and what you really want. Don't simply do things because they are easy or convenient. There's a price you will pay for this later. And it may not be today or tomorrow, but it will show up when you least expect it. Or as Angie Johnsy, a mind coach who specializes in teaching people how to deal with emotional pain without using food as a crutch, says, "If ignored, your thoughts only yell louder, bang on the walls, and eventually kick down the doors." This is so true, be it with food, in relationships, work, anything that you find your gut yelling at you about. Pay attention or it will get loud. Again, mental health professionals can help to give you the tools to use in order to move forward in a productive way if you find yourself stuck or overwhelmed. And the last piece of advice that I will share from Valerie, and this is only up to page 43, she says, "The joy I want to feel is not so much an end goal as it is a value and an intention that I must choose and realign with over and over again." And this aligns with what Tina Hallis says in regards to practicing positivity. Practicing positivity is like brushing our teeth. It doesn't last, so we have to repeat often. That's where the effort and practice come in. And the next book we can glean some lessons from is Paris, the Memoir by Paris Hilton. I will confess that when this book was gifted to me, I was a little unsure whether or not it would have the capacity to teach me something. I assumed, shame on me, that it was going to be all glitz, glamour, and a bunch of unrelatable stuff. And boy, was I wrong. I really like Paris, especially when she is courageous enough to share her mental health issues. It's important for us to be reminded that just because someone comes from a lot of money, has a lot of money, or if they're smiling all the time, it does not mean that someone is not mentally or physically tired. Mental health is something you can't see, so never assume that all is well with someone just because. Be kind always. So some lessons from Paris so far include, loving yourself is an act of rebellion, which is beautiful but exhausting. That's so important and circles back to people-pleasing, in my opinion. And another notable quote from the book comes from Dr. Hallowell, who says, "Your greatest asset is your worst enemy." And finally, in terms of her relationship with her husband, Paris says, "Taking care of ourselves is something we do for each other out of love. We want our good life to last." Important lesson in not taking people for granted and taking care of ourselves first so we can be around for a long, long time. And all of that is only up to page 14. Remember, I'm bouncing between books like changing the channels on a television. It works for me. And so far, many, many lessons learned. And the last one from my current stack is Love, Pamela by Pamela Anderson. Again, don't jump to conclusions. I will defend this one a lot, especially after listening, watching, and reading about her life from her perspective and not someone else's. We all have a lot of things said about us that aren't actually true, even when we're not celebrities, so I can't imagine how skewed things can get in the spotlight. In this book, I'm only up to page 39, but some lessons so far include the love of self. I'm hearing a clear theme amongst all of the celebrity memoirs here. And she also says, "I was on no one's path but my own." I will again attribute this or rephrase this as, "Don't be a people pleaser. Do you for only you, not to get fake people to like you. And for what?" And she also touts independent thinking and disobedience and illuminates the thought, "I am good enough, I am powerful." And something Pamela says that really resonates with me and I found to be true in life is, "The truth always comes to the surface eventually." Some more food for thought. Anyhow, take the expensive advice from celebrities and their therapists for free. Of course, if you are struggling, contact a mental health professional, or if you are in crisis, dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the United States. Okay, so there you have it. Short, sweet, and to the point again this week. Recommended readings in random order related to this episode include The 9 Keys of Synchronicity by Dr. Philip Merry, Everything is Waiting for You, Poems by David White, Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones by James Clear, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing by Matthew Perry with a foreword by Lisa Kudrow, The Woman in Me by Britney Spears, Enough Already by Valerie Bertinelli, Paris, the Memoir by Paris Hilton, and Love, Pamela by Pamela Anderson. And other important resources this time of year, dial or text 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the United States, or 000, the National Emergency Telephone Number in Australia. And if you are interested and would like to receive daily inspiration via social media, you can join the Lemon Tree Coaching community on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post meaningful quotes from my weekly readings and recommend books from time to time. So check it out and see if it's for you. And in 2024, you will see a shift and refresh when it comes to my website, which can be found at thelemontreecoaching.com. Currently, it is under construction, but its new look and resources will be available at the start of the year. More to come on that, so stay tuned. And teachers, you may want to check out my TPT store called The Lemon Tree by AKS. There are some free lessons you can download or explore the shop for more. Again, my shop is The Lemon Tree by AKS on teacherspayteachers.com. And thank you for listening. This is Dr. Allison Succomelli saying it's been a pleasure sharing this space with you. Happy New Year to all. And until next time, have fun, be safe.